Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back on this Tuesday from the capital of Raider Nation, the home of the Silver and Black, Las Vegas, Nevada, as we deal with an overcast day here. Yes, sometimes the sun doesn't shine in Las Vegas, and today is one of those days. Scott Culbranson back with you here. We appreciate you being with us. Some great calls today. We're asking the question, who in free agency do you want to see the Raiders go get? They free up some cash. They get the money. You're the GM. Mike Mayock's on vacation. He calls you and says, hey, listen, it's all you. Whatever moves you want to make, here's the checkbook. John's on board with whatever you want to do. What do? Who do you go sign? You tell me. Or do you make a trade, maybe? Is that what you want to do? You tell me. You're the GM of the Raiders, and you get to make decisions, so you tell me. As always, Silver and Black Today is powered by our good friend Salmon Ash, the injury attorney, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. You can call in at 702-365-9200 for the Raider Nation hotline. You're the GM. You tell me what you want to do, and I'll tell you, yes, I have my cup of coffee here, and I also have my blueberry cream Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar. This is what fuels me through every show. It's great nutrition for the entire family. Convenient snack, or as I use it, it's a meal replacement. I don't eat lunch. I have a late Dr. Jen's bar. It gets me through till about 6:30 when I have some dinner. It's certified gluten-free, all natural ingredients, no artificial sweeteners, none of that sugar alcohol crap that makes you feel bloated and nasty. That's not what this is. It contains superfoods like spinach, kale, and quinoa. And now you say, Scott, if I want to eat spinach or quinoa, I'll eat that. But how the hell does that taste in a protein bar? Let me tell you, you can't taste it. It's not like you're eating a roof shingle. This is a great protein bar, high in antioxidants. It is formulated for great taste, bunch of great flavors. My favorite, I always say it on every show, is the chocolate peanut butter banana. It is out of this world. Helps me sustain energy without a sugar crash. Great fiber, keeps me full and satisfied. At my age, I don't want to put on any more weight that I already have. So that's what it does. Also, prebiotics for your GI health. It's easily digestible. This is great stuff. If you go to drjensnutrition.com and you use the code SBT10, only for our listeners, so don't tell your fans, your Cowboy fans, or your Chiefs fan friends, if you have any, or anybody else, just for Raider Nation, SBT10 at drjensnutrition.com. You get a special discount, plus you get free shipping. If you're in Las Vegas, you go to Vegas Discount Nutrition. You can pick them up there, or you can pick them up at the multiple locations of Terrible Herbs convenience stores all over the valley. That's Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar. All right, we're going right back on the phone lines. They're busy today. It is our good friend, my man in Australia. That is Rossi. Rossi, you're on with Scott on Silver and Black Today. What's going on down under, my man?
Oh, man, it's all go here. It's a fantastic Wednesday morning. Not a cloud in the sky, about 95 degrees in your Fahrenheit. So, hey, it's a good day. Just before we get into free agency, can we stop talking about Eric Bieniemy being a head coach now? Because his in-game management, I know we spoke about this about 6 weeks ago when we were talking about all of this, about does he interview well or anything else like that. He didn't change anything.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about potentially the best front four in the league against a poor offensive line at best, even when Eric Fisher is there.
Right.
With no Fisher, what are you doing? Like, are you that arrogant that you just think Mahomes is going to go do what Mahomes does and Hill will do what it is? Surely after the third series, you go, I think we might need to change a couple of things up here, Andy. So stop with the head coach. It's got nothing to do with color or creed. He's actually just a very bad coach that is an assistant to Andy Reid, not a head coach, in my opinion, whatsoever.
Yeah, well, and what I've said about that too is we heard about, and you've heard on this show too, Rossi, when we had Rod Graves from the Fritz Pollard Alliance on about minority coaching hires. And I never heard Byron Leftwich's name, and I never heard Todd Bowles, because Todd Bowles, I've heard, because he was with the Jets and didn't succeed there, that he wasn't hireable. Now, he did talk about the fact that, you know, getting second chances has been more difficult for minority candidates, I guess, that's part of the issue. But here, it just goes to show you that it's hard. Don't make one guy the focus of an initiative, because to me, there's other great examples of coaches who have done amazing things. And I'm not saying anything against Eric Bieniemy. I'm just saying that there are other coaches out there who are deserving as well. And let me tell you, I said it yesterday, Rossi. They got their butts kicked from a coaching perspective. The Buccaneers coaching staff, from to a man and a woman, of course, they had the first women coaches to win a Super Bowl. They really did an amazing job. And you're right. Andy Reid, I think, just kind of mailed it in, which is pretty incredible for the reputation that he's had.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that I know I spoke to you offline about this. I'll send you a message. Just in regard to, if player movement can't happen, then why are coaches allowed to? However, the league hamstring successful coaches, again, nothing to do with race or creed here, they hamstring by not allowing them to go through the interview process until they're actually out of the playoffs, which I get makes sense. But if you fire your coach on the 8th of December, you don't want to wait until the 8th of February to suddenly start that interview process. And so I think that the league has to look at this as well and just go, when can you start to interview coaches? And when can you start to get them to think about that game plan of 3, 4, 5 years down the track? But I know we're here to talk about free agency. So,
well, no, but you bring up a good point, Rossi, and that is, you're right. Yeah, if I'm an owner and like the Jets or the Texans, and I fire my guy and I'm going to hire a new coach, yeah, I don't want to wait till after the Super Bowl. But is that more equitable? And again, this is not about diversity hiring. This is just period hiring. Does the league do you say, hey, look, you know what? We got to all be on the same system, and nobody gets an advantage except for the teams that have coaches already in place. Because if you have a coach in place and you didn't fire somebody, and you're planning for the next season and you're already on to 2021. Now, I don't know what the right answer is, but you're right. It doesn't seem well thought out, or maybe they've thought it out and they've just not been able to come up with a better solution.
I think it's exactly the same as player trades or free agents. There's a period where there's free agency. There's a period leading up to the draft. However, trades can happen leading up to before the actual league season starts on, I think it's the 13th of March this year. And so if Stafford can get traded, he's actually still not allowed in Los Angeles. He's not allowed to be in the Rams facility because he's still not officially a Rams player. He's
correct,
working his way through the court and selling his house and everything else like that. And so there's just that element there that just says to me, you know what, if a brand new league season starts, then the entire franchise should be allowed to improve from that day, nothing prior.
Yeah,
and that's,
that makes a lot of
and
sense.
It's the same with the coaching as well. Absolutely, yeah. 100%. If you fire your coach on the 8th of December and you find a new one on the 10th, hey, great, that's awesome. But if you have to wait for the playoffs to then start to interview people, then I don't think it's not conducive to any type of hiring, even when you look at Todd Bowles. I think Todd Bowles has got a pass with the Jets because, you know, that's just
a
shambles. Sorry. so sorry to your producer. We were just talking on there. But that's basically the AFC Detroit Lions, unfortunately. So
yeah.
Just one of those things. With free agency, first and foremost, cap space. So we're keeping Derek Carr. We're not trading Derek Carr anywhere. Okay, mm-hmm. So we're not taking on Deshaun Watson's new contract or Aaron Rodgers or anybody else. But the three guys that I really want to see us go hard for is Justin Simmons. I think having, and two of my guys are actually in the AFC West. Having guys that actually understand the AFC West can bring some knowledge of competitive teams. For me, is just a really big thing. So Justin Simmons for one. Melvin Ingram knows the system. He can come in. He can teach. And whether you like Hard Knocks or not, he showed a lot of maturity last year during the Hard Knocks for the Chargers. He's got that leadership quality. I'd love to see him with that young line there. Another one that I want to see, especially shoring up that middle, is Daquan Jones from Tennessee. I think he would be he's a good price. He's a guy that takes one or two blockers at any one time. If he's just man on man, then he can penetrate, and he can show it again that he can do that. But the home run one for me, and this is doesn't matter about money or anything else like that, just if you can go get him, Matt Judon. I think that he is phenomenal. He is absolutely phenomenal. And that would, him with Ingram and Jones across that line, that then gives you those four players that can get penetration towards the actual quarterback. And it doesn't matter whether it's Mahomes, it doesn't matter whether it's Drew Locke, which just makes me laugh just saying that name, or Justin Herbert. Yeah. You know, you start to get penetration against that line. And I think that if there's a way to get those guys and still solidify the offensive line, then that's where I'd be going.
Yeah, good names. And like, again, I am a massive Justin Simmons fan. I don't want Raider fans to get excited about that possibility, because I just don't see the Broncos letting him go in the division, especially because he can be tagged. And so the cost to get him too might be prohibitive, but you're right. I think that's a guy who would fit nicely in Bradley's system along with the other ones. I mean, the four guys you mentioned, I love, with the exception of Simmons, the other three guys, a lot of Raider fans don't talk about because they're going after and talking about all these other big names. But all of those guys would vastly improve that defense and do exactly what you need. And to your point about knowing the division, about knowing the system and playing well in the system, are all really good fits. So, Rossi, you always bring great, great recommendations. And I appreciate you calling in and contributing, my man.
Can I just quickly jump in?
Of course. On Simmons?
Denver have got, so Justin Simmons, if they go and tag Justin Simmons, that means that Kareem Jackson's available. If we're looking at that strong safety to play alongside Abram, if Abram's the guy, that's a different conversation, but if you're looking at that strong safety as well, basically, whatever the Broncos do, you can still counteract that and still get that player who is fit within the Fangio system and is a winner and actually understands what it takes to play defense.
Good call. See, that's why we love Rossi on the show. All right, thanks, Rossi. Man. Have a great one, man. Day. We'll talk to you real soon.
Cheers, buddy.
All right, cheers. All right, there you go, Rossi from Australia. That's what I love about this show, man. We get callers from all over the country, all over the world, and Rossi's dumb. He knows his football. He's a Brit originally in Australia, but he knows football a lot better than a lot of Americans that I know, because he listened to it on Armed Forces Radio growing up in Europe and became a Raider fan. So it's a pretty cool story. Now, the one thing, I got to diverge just for a second, but you still call in. I want to hear who you think the Raiders should go after in free agency. 702-365-9200 is the number, but I have to correct a wrong first, and that is Chris Chapman, my producer, who's now going to come on the air as soon as he can get the microphone on, is from New Jersey. I'm originally from Chicago, and so now we're embroiled in a argument over who has the best pizza. Chris, if you have to fold it, man, it's not good.
Listen, that's the only way to eat pizza. None of this knife and fork stuff. I mean, I've been to Chicago.
Knife and fork?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was in Chicago a couple of years ago. I guess it was, wow, I'm really dating myself here. But Nebraska played Notre Dame in South Bend. And I was in Chicago the Friday before that game. First of all, it was a sea of red. Those Nebraska fans travel like nobody I've ever seen. But I'm in downtown Chicago. I'm on Michigan Avenue. I don't remember if it was Giordano's or Rosati's or one of the big name pizza places in Chicago. And I'm like, oh, this sounds good. Let me get this. And it was a deep dish pizza that had spinach and meat inside and of course the sauce on top. Listen, if you have to stuff cheese inside the crust or whatever it is that they do with that deep dish stuff, that's not a pizza. I like the way New Jersey tweeted it out. That's a casserole. That's not a pizza.
Casserole.
I mean,
here's what I'll tell you though. Like for me, originally born in Chicago, in a suburb of Chicago, and so I grew up with Chicago pizza, right? And don't get me wrong, New Jersey pizza, New York, I like it too. Don't get me wrong. But the Chicago pizza that I grew up with, like when you live in Chicago and you just order a pie home because you're watching the game, you don't get the deep dish. That's like, to me, yes, Chicago.
Is that like a touristy thing? Is that like when you come to Vegas and you get that big like yard of alcohol that's all ice and sugar and not so much alcohol?
Exactly, exactly. But in Chicago, the thin crust pizza that's like it's got a cracker crust, it's got fennel, it's got cornmeal on the bottom of it. So when it comes off the pan, like that to me is real Chicago pizza. So when people say, oh, I don't like Chicago, I don't like the thick stuff, I'm like, that's not real Chicago pizza. I know that's what is synonymous. And I don't know why Chicago markets the deep dish so much, because there's so many great local pizzerias throughout the Chicagoland area that have great thin crust pizza, and they cut it in squares, and the sausage, the Italian sausage, is phenomenal. And so that's why I hate when people judge Chicago pizza by deep dish, but I understand why they do, because they're kind of force-fed it, to your point about, you know, the tourism stuff and people just do it. Just like when you go to New York City, like how many Ray's pizza is there? But there's only actually one that matters.
There's famous Ray's and then there's Ray's famous.
Correct. Exactly.
You know, I will say this. I do buy the Home Run in one of the local grocery stores here. They sell it frozen.
The frozen one is awesome.
And it's good. It's really good frozen pizza. And I've had Lou Malnati's, and it's funny. My friend who lives in Phoenix was texting me this afternoon, and she's actually the one who, the first time I went to Chicago, I went with her and her family, and you know, she was like, "Oh, we'll go to Lou Malnati's. You'll like that." It was pretty good. It was really good pizza, and we went to the Taste a couple times, me and her with her family, and I guess is it Geno's East? Is that the
Geno's East? Yeah,
that was pretty solid. But like it's Geno's just like New Jersey, right? Like and our friend Matt from Hoboken, right? He's in the pizza capital of the world. I mean, that's really where it is. If you're in Hoboken, you got the best of everything, because you got great pizza. You just go across the river, you got New York pizza, which is a little different, right? It tastes the same, but it's a little different. They market it a little differently there. Pizza is not what they really market. Hot dogs and potato knishes are what you get when you go to New York. But, you know, it's something. And I just want to jump in on something Rossi said, too. Yeah. He was praising Todd Bowles. And I can say this as a Jets fan. Todd Bowles was a good coach. The problem was, and I think I tweeted it to Evan Grote yesterday, the Jets fired a bad general manager in Mike Tannenbaum, and they hired the worst general manager in the history of general managers in the middle of Todd Bowles coaching the Jets and Mike McKagan. They had 12 draft picks in his second year as general. He only lasted 2 years as a GM. They had 12 draft picks in his second draft. One of them made the team.
Oh, my God.
Like, how bad do you have to be as a general manager to miss on that many picks? I mean, everything that guy did was wrong. So Todd Bowles was destined to fail as head coach of the New York Jets. I really liked him. His in-game management drove me nuts a little bit. He was a little conservative at times, especially late in games. They'd be down by maybe 10 points, and he'd punt on fourth down. But I think his having the guys ready to play, and defensively the team was always pretty good considering they didn't have a lot of talent. But I think he's a guy who has to get a second chance somewhere, because I think he's a good coach. I think he's a guy who can succeed. But I think he's not complaining. You know, it's like, yeah, I left the Jets. I went to sunny Florida, got a Super Bowl, got to coach with, got to see Tom Brady up close and personal where he's not torching my defense. So I don't think he's complaining too much.
No, and I think that there's going to be options for him. But, he's obviously not going to get a job this year because everything's been filled so far. But clearly with the performance in the Super Bowl, he's got to be a guy that's high on the list for next year when there's openings, if he wants to. You know, some of these guys, he might have a chance to win another Super Bowl next year. I mean, everybody's the books already put the Chiefs as the favorite, and I understand why. Don't get me wrong, but I'm like, how can you doubt the pay? I mean, how can you doubt the Buccaneers?
At this point, you can't, right? First of all, right. Bruce Arians is a really good coach. He was a really good coach in Arizona, made them very competitive for the time he was there. I think he was the coach when they went to the Super Bowl. I can't remember, but I mean, he's a good coach, and he's got a lot of guys coming back. I mean, I know that they defensively are solid. White is a ridiculous player for them. I mean, I thought he was the MVP of the Super Bowl. Obviously, the young Antoine Winfield Jr., he had a really good Super Bowl. He's probably going to be just as good as his dad, and his dad was an All-Pro. So,
yeah,
they have a good foundation there. Leonard Fournette, I'm not sure what his contract status is, but I think he played a really good Super Bowl. He had a big role for those guys, but I wouldn't sleep on Tampa, especially considering Drew Brees. You don't know the situation with Drew Brees, right? It sounds like he's done.
Atlanta, you don't know what's going on. I mean, in Atlanta.
Are you confident with Jameis Winston leading you? If you're the Saints, probably not.
No.
Aaron Rodgers is unhappy with the situation in Green Bay. He may not even be there. I don't have any faith in. Look, I know people are excited about Matt Stafford. I don't think Matt Stafford's going to lead the Rams to the Super Bowl. I just don't think he's a winning quarterback.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting storylines will be what does Seattle do? They need offensive line help, but they have a pretty good lineup. And then new offensive coordinator, Russell Wilson's not happy. The NFC is sort of kind of a jumbled mess.
Yeah, I mean, it's will San Francisco be back? Maybe.
Get a quarterback.
Yeah, well, maybe if Garoppolo can recover well. But, I mean, remember, they lost their defensive coordinator, and that's a big part of who their identity was. Mm-hmm. They're probably not going to be as good as they were 2 years ago. I mean, it's Philadelphia's taking a step back. Will Chicago be any good even if they get Carson Wentz? I don't know. The Vikings don't seem to be there. Kirk Cousins isn't the guy. The NFC East is a disaster.
Right.
Why would anybody bet against Tampa at this point?
I mean, exactly. No, I agree with you. It's crazy, man. But that's why if I'm putting some future bet down, I'm putting it on Tampa. I don't know what the odds are. I'll check it during the break. We're gonna take a break. When Chris and I come back, we'll talk a little more about the free agents. We'll get your calls, 702-365-9200. Also, some big decisions for the NFL that need to be made. So I'm gonna read those out, Chris, and we'll talk about those. And then 3:40, Vinny Bonsignor will join us. We'll talk to him too about all of this and get his thoughts and the latest he's hearing out of the Raider camp concerning Marcus Mariota and the fact that there might be some trade interest out there. You're with Chris and Scott here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
And back with you here on Silver and Black Today. Appreciate you guys being with us. We're asking you the question. You are the GM. Yes, you have been obtained. You've been hired, at least temporarily. Mike Mayock's on vacation. He put you in charge. You're the GM of the Raiders. What free agent, I know it's on defense, what free agent do you want? 702-365-9200. Who would be a difference maker for this Raiders team? By the way, Chris, I look up the odds using the William Hill app on my phone. They're a proud sponsor, I believe, of all of our stations here at Lotus. Buccaneers money line is at plus 1,000.
Wow. Well, they do have a couple of free agents. Obviously,
they do.
Shaq Barrett they do. Is one, Chris Godwin being the other. But, I mean, I don't know what their cap situation is, but I would imagine that they would probably attempt to re-sign both of those guys. I mean, not to say that they will, but, I mean, before free agency, I don't know why you don't take a shot at that. I mean, if they re-sign those guys, the odds probably go down. I mean, they're probably not going to be as good as that.
You have the Chiefs favored. They're plus 500 right now. Of course, this is all early, right? Of course, because it just ended. So, like you said, before free agency. The Packers at plus 850. The Bills at plus 1,000. And the Rams at plus 1,000. So, to me, if you're out there and you got an extra 50 or 100 bucks, do it.
Yeah, Matt,
I'm telling
the Rams seem really high. I mean, I know they have good defense, but Matt Stafford's the guy. Look, you got to prove it to me.
Everybody's excited about that. I don't know why. I like Matt Stafford, and I think they will actually be better on offense. But and the defense is good. I just don't have a lot of confidence in the Rams.
Yeah, and the reality is he might be the third best quarterback in that division.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Because Murray's going to be really good. I mean, anytime you watch him, you're like, wow, he's going to be a really good quarterback. I mean, he's still got some learning and growing to go. But that's a team that I'm not sleeping on. I think the Cardinals are going to make a real big jump next year.
Yeah, I do too. I like the Cardinals. And that young defense is really good, actually. They made some mistakes. But, Chris, the interesting thing about the NFL season, here we're talking about odds to win the Super Bowl next year, but the NFL's got a bunch of unknowns and a lot of things they got to figure out. First of all, one of the big ones is, if you remember with the new collective bargaining agreement this past year, they agreed on a schedule that would be a 17th game. So they would add a game. And it will be an interconference matchup based on divisional standings during the previous year. So based on the records this year, that's how they'll do it. But they haven't committed to that. They haven't said how it's going to work out or what's going to happen. So you have the prospect of increasing the season by another week, another game. But to me, Chris, the biggest question, because I know here in Nevada, our COVID numbers for the last 4 weeks have trended down. So like we're going in a really good direction.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true throughout the country. I've heard other states where it is true. I've heard other states where it's not true. Data is so hard to come by, and then you can't always believe all the data you see out there. So who knows? But what kind of offseason is the NFL going to have? Are these guys going to do what they had to do last year where everything's by Zoom? I mean, we don't know yet. And I think that's huge because think about like – the Jacksonville Jaguars, they got the gold. They got the golden prize. They get the number one pick in the draft. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence. Urban Meyer, the new head coach, gets him. But if you have to bring that guy in and it's all Zoom, you know, I mean, we had a good NFL season despite all that this year. But I think that it's just, again, it's more unknown. Are they going to have to vaccinate all the players before they can play? And then are they going to have games in stadium? I mean, all these questions are out there, and look, the new year for the NFL starts in a month.
Yeah, I want to be the optimist here, and a year ago, I felt like, all right, this is only going to last a few months, right? Like, that was my initial thought. Like, okay, this is March. We're in the middle of March. Things are starting to shut down. We'll be back to normal maybe by the middle of the summer. Like, that was the way I was thinking, and obviously, I was way wrong.
Yeah.
But I like because I check it every day, right? I mean, my wife is an immigrant. She has to actually test negative now before she gets in the country in, yeah, when she comes in a few weeks. But I mean, it's one of those things where I read the data, and it does seem like the numbers are going way down. So that's obviously a really good sign. As more people get vaccinated, I think they'll continue to go down. I want to be the optimist here, and I want to say that OTAs, they probably will take place in Zoom. Maybe because, I mean, there's a bunch of different things that they do, right? After the draft, they bring in the rookies, and then they have the OTAs, and then, of course, the training camps. I'd like to think that maybe by the time the draft rolls around, which is in May, mm-hmm, late April, early May, I don't know the exact date, things will somewhat have returned to normal. People my age and your age, if we want to get vaccinated, we'll be able to get the vaccine. So people like us, we won't have to really worry as much as we did maybe 3 months ago. I want to think everything's going to be normal by the time the season starts. I think we'll have fans in the stands, which would be phenomenal, because I could tell you, I know you went to every game. I went to one game. Going to an NFL game with no fans is no fun.
Yeah,
it's just weird. It's just wrong. So for the sake of the Raiders and the rest of the league, I hope we have a normal season. I like the way it's trending. I think it's a good sign. So hopefully things maintain on that path that we seem to be going down. And, you know, as we get more and more people vaccinated. I mean, next will be people my mother's age. She's right at the, in Nevada, she's right at the cusp. She's 69 years old. So too young to get it. And well, next go around, she'll be able to get it. But
yeah, hopefully by next month.
You know, it's crazy. Well, I mean, I don't know.
And that'll be interesting too, because the Raiders, you know, even and I'm an optimist too, but I did see a funny thing that said, "Hey, happy first anniversary of the 2 weeks to flatten the curve."
Oh, geez.
Which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, I mean, remember that? Oh yeah, stay home for 2 weeks and things will be well. I mean, it's crazy because when you and I know you're a guy who follows events all around the world. When you see the way things have been handled in a lot of other countries, it's like, like Brazil, it's been a free for all. You know,
It's been crazy.
But
it's been crazy.
And then you have other countries where they're doing normal stuff.
Well, yeah, and I think though that for the NFL getting back to normal, I think it'll be a slower getting back to normal, meaning that you'll have some normalcy, but there'll still be some differences. Like I know the Raiders, especially our fans up in the Bay Area who listen to us here on Raider Nation Radio, you know, they were disappointed that because camp was canceled, they couldn't do camp in Napa. My guess would be that they still won't do camp in Napa. They'll probably do camp at their facilities again just to be safe for one more season. But I think that would be a huge thing for people here in Las Vegas, especially if there's at least limited amounts of fans who can go here because the community still hasn't really had its full introduction to the Raiders.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been able to do it. So to me, that's a big deal. All right, we're going to get a call in here real quick. And then we're going to go to a break before we go to Vinny. It is Raider Dave, our guy up in Denver. Raider Dave, you're on with Scott and Chris here on Silver and Black today.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate that. Finally done throwing up after such a great Super Bowl. Anyway, what an epic finish to 2020. How appropriate. Anyway, I think and been saying a little bit that we really don't know what Brown is going to be like when he comes back to the offensive line. And I don't think Denver really knows what they're going to get back with Von Miller. So I think it's almost a match. And I do believe that there really isn't any way to draft top talent at the defensive end position for pass rushing. And maybe, you know, Miller's not going to be the guy he was 5 years ago. But here's the other point that people need to remember. Everybody else in the NFL comes to his camp to learn how to do that job. And having somebody like that on the roster, I think, would do more for the defense and the defensive line especially than Witten did for the offense and the tight end position. Mm. So the ability to draft a top-notch linebacker sits in around the mid-draft area where the Raiders will draft. But certainly trying to draft a defensive end is not going to be in the cards to get somebody as high of a caliber as what they need.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And in fact, later in the week, I'm going to talk about that because I think I have the guy the Raiders should draft if they stay at 17, and it is a linebacker. Because I agree with you there. I think that's the one thing. That's why I've been saying all along, Dave, that defensive end position or that pass rusher that you want to go get. I think I really believe you should go get a veteran. And I understand people's point. What's that?
Here's the other thing too with Bradley and a cover three. You're going to need a lot of athleticism out of the linebackers, and that means you got to have depth too. So that's going to come with youth and coming from the draft.
I agree 100%. Great call, my man. I appreciate it, Dave. We'll talk to you soon, man. All right, we're up against a break. When we come back, we'll get Vinny Bonsignor on the horn or on the interwebs as we connect virtually here. You're listening to the Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back. Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio on a Tuesday. Coming up next at 4 o'clock, don't miss In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy. And speaking of Vinny, he joins us now. Vinny, I haven't talked to you since the Super Bowl, but I just read that the ratings were the lowest on television since 2006. That was the Steelers and Seahawks. It brought in 91.629 million viewers. It's down 8% from last year. What did you think? I mean, obviously, when the game gets into blowout status, which it didn't really until the second half, you shed viewers. But interested to hear your take on the game and maybe why not too many people wanted to watch it.
Yeah, I think it was, the blowout. Also, I don't think as many people had parties necessarily. So,
yes.
Maybe people went fishing or camping or did something different than what they would normally do. Because you got to understand that there's so many fans that have Super Bowl parties that aren't even necessarily football fans or big sports fans. They're just doing it because, you know, that's the fun thing to do on Super Bowl Sunday. So I'm wondering, you know, because of the, lack of gatherings, if maybe people just, tuned out for whatever, for that particular reason.
Yeah, it was the most live streamed NFL game. So obviously
the
5.7 million viewers per minute. That's
something that we're going to have to keep in mind as we assess some of these television numbers, that there's various ways, to watch nowadays. I don't know what the calculus is on how they determine, TV ratings and if they take that into account or if that's a valid explanation, but I would think it is. I'll say this though, the TV rates and the rights deals always keep going up. So it lets you know that I think the TV people kind of understand maybe what's going on and better than we probably do. So I wouldn't read too much into it. It looks like numbers are declining for live watching on live TV across the board in every realm. So it probably stands to reason that sports and the Super Bowl falls into that category as well.
Yeah, I mean, 65% rise in stream from last year. It was also the first time an NFL game in history had more than 1 billion streaming minutes. So it's just the way we're watching is changing and people want to be able to control it. And also people remember, if you cut the cord, like I don't have cable or satellite anymore. I have streaming. And so when I stream something, it's captured differently. And you're right. Nielsen does now capture streaming because obviously it's an advertising-driven business, so you have to be able to do that. But the blowout, no question. But I also think, too, and Front Page Sports Magazine, or Front Office Sports, which is a publication that covers the business of sports, they talked about it, too. And a couple of the other reasons they cite were referees controlling the pace and drama of the first half. And then also, this one I found interesting, Tom Brady fatigue.
Which, who wrote this?
This is Front Office Sports. It's a sports business magazine. But I found that interesting because I thought it was the opposite. I thought the matchup between Mahomes, the young, the heir apparent, if you will, of great young NFL quarterbacks, who's going to have hopefully for him a long career, versus Tom Brady, who's getting towards the end and still is doing well. I thought that matchup was hyped up a lot. So I don't think that there was necessarily fatigue. I think people were excited to watch that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it was really the opposite that I at least, and this is unscientific. It's just my own little research that I did with my own friends and family members and extended family and all that. And to me, I found that there was more of an appetite for Tom Brady this year than had been in the past, because there was that curiosity level of, is this guy going to win a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick and the Patriots? I think there's certainly been a case for Patriots overload over the years, but as far as Tom Brady breaking off and doing his own thing, it was like Michael Jackson leaving the Jacksons. I think it actually helped his popularity a little bit rather than hurt it. You're always going to have the haters, but the haters probably wanted to watch to see him get crushed as well. So there's always hate watching, and that always drives ratings as well. So I'm not so sure that it doesn't have any all to do with the lack of parties maybe that people were having, and then also the fact that we watch things and digest our sports, our televisions, our entertainment so much differently now than we have in the past, and it's ever evolving. It changes all the time, and it skews the numbers all the time. And I think that we're seeing that, and I don't see anyone that's freaking out over it other than the people that want to go, oh, I told you so, people aren't going to watch because Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee. That's not it. that's a very, 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 very small amount of people who may not tune in, and a lot of those people weren't watching to begin with. So I don't think it has anything to do with that. It's just how we're computing and how people are digesting sports and live television nowadays.
Vinny Bonsignor, who is, of course, the beat writer for the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Also a colleague here. He hosts In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy coming up next from 4 to 6 p.m. here on Raider Nation Radio. And Vinny, you know, there's two camps out there, at least for those guys in the media and gals in the media who report on the NFL. One that believes that there's going to be this big quarterback carousel that we've been talking about here a lot, and I know you've been talking about. And then there's other people who say, nah, it's not going to be as big as people think. What are you hearing? We'll get to the Raiders specifically in a second, but what are you hearing now? I mean, we heard earlier coming out of the Super Bowl that Carson Wentz was just days away from maybe being traded to either the Colts or the Bears. And we still don't hear anything about Deshaun Watson. That doesn't look like Houston wants to trade him, and they're trying to figure it all out. But what's the latest you're hearing with your NFL sources about this whole idea that there could be 5-6 major starting quarterbacks on the move this year?
I don't know about that many, but they're, you know, Carson Wentz, I think there's an expectation that he's going to get traded. I think there's tremendous curiosity in what the Houston Texans are going to do with Deshaun Watson. Do they wait it out? Do they try to convince him, to stay? How dug in is he on his desire to get out, and how far is he going to push that? Is he going to push it to a point where, you know, he's going to lose money out on the deal? That's always the big, that really lets you know when somebody's dug in or not. And are the Houston Texans willing to have a disgruntled player if he does come back, but not happily so? He does it for, you know, obviously he doesn't want to lose a lot of money, but his heart isn't in it. I mean, that's going to be the thing that everyone watches. The other ones, as far as obviously we saw Matthew Stafford move from the Detroit Lions to the Rams, and conversely, you know, Jared Goff going to the Lions. I think Carson Wentz will probably get dealt. I think that teams are letting the Philadelphia Eagles know whatever it is that you're asking right now, that's not going to happen. So that needs to get sorted out, and the Philadelphia Eagles have to ask themselves, you know, what is it that we're willing to take back in exchange for him? So that'll get sorted out. There's time for that to happen. And then we'll see what happens from that point, you know, forward. I think that you can make the argument that Derek Carr is just a better quarterback right now, than Wentz. And sure. A lot of that has to do with, you know, health. A lot of that has to do with, you know, Wentz taking steps backwards. But there's also maybe a belief that, hey, if Carson Wentz goes to the right situation, he can get fixed. And if he can fix him, now you have a younger guy, that gives you more longevity than a Derek Carr. And it goes back to kind of, for me, what I wrote a couple of weeks ago or last week, whenever it was, is that there's teams that feel like they're right on the doorstep. I mean, the Colts weren't just on the doorstep. They were inside the party. They just need to find now another quarterback to replace the one that's retiring, as will presumably the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees. The Chicago Bears, I think, feel like they have everything in place. There's uncertainty at quarterback. The Washington Football Club, they've built themselves a pretty darn good defense. They've got some weapons. They've got a good coach. Are they a quarterback away from making serious noise in the NFC East? So, and also keep an eye on Dak Prescott. We don't know where that is headed entirely. I don't know if that answers the question, but I think that everyone's going to be curious to see, what does happen. And as drafts have shown, you know, when you have a glut of some position and all of a sudden some team decides we're going to go ahead and take the offensive tackle, and then everyone starts getting worried that they're going to lose out, then a run on offensive tackles happens. So, keep an eye on something like that happening as well.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting. I mean, we got just over a month until the start of the new NFL year, when moves and all that can be official. So it'll be a couple of weeks. Make sure you keep reading Vinny and keep listening to here on Raider Nation Radio. Vinny, have a great show, my man, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right, Vinny's in the huddle with Lincoln Kennedy, 4 p.m. here. Thank you guys all for being with me here on Raider Nation Radio. For Chris Chapman, my producer and co-host today, thanks to him back in the studio for making it all go. And for all of us here at Silver and Black Today at silverandblacktoday.com, I'm Scott Gilbranson. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Raider Nation. Take care.